through spiritual warfare. I know you've had a great month with Tony Evans with spiritual warfare. And as we go through this scripture this week, it was not the best of weeks for me. And obviously, if you understand as a pastor, the night before you have to preach, maybe some other pastors can understand that the devil comes at you in all different ways that he can, and negative self-talk, discouragement. It seems like on Saturdays, many days, and I feel just paralyzed. Like, I can go and do something, but I just get paralyzed, and I feel like I can't do anything. And those are the times that we need to trust in God's Word. And when we come to this, I believe this passage is going to be a key and an important passage. As we've already gone through some of it with Tony Evans, we're going to look at it a little deeper today. But if you have been like me in your life, perhaps you might say, you know, I've been really trying to live the Christian life. I've been really trying to walk in victory, but it doesn't always seem to happen. You know, I can go on for a little while, and then I kind of run out of steam, and I try to do the right thing, and then it seems like I just am not victorious. Whatever that struggle is you're dealing with, whatever addiction you're facing, whatever enemy you're facing right now in your life, it seems like you get through one trial, and then another one comes. You know, our dear sister here that shared about dealing with somebody in their apartment that God is sending her to be a witness to. Seems like just when things get good, then wham, the devil sends somebody else or something else towards us. And when we come to this passage, one of the things that God gives us is hope, but he also gives us an answer, and he gives us a way to walk in victory if we would choose to do so. Amen. And this is the key of this whole book of Ephesians, because after Paul goes through all the great doctrine, and then he goes through chapter 5 on how we're supposed to have the kingdom family and how the order and the structure of the family would be, he knew that if we understand and unpack all of our spiritual blessings, and we understand who we're supposed to be as Father's Day, as men and leadership in the home, that the devil is going to be right around the corner to hinder, to lie about, to get you to stop believing in all those blessings that were in the previous chapters. He's there as a roaring lion, and we are in a real battle. So I want to talk about real power for the real battle. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. It says, finally, the end of his letter, he says, this is where the rubber meets the road. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, how many of you have experienced power outages before? Hopefully all of us probably have. And how many of you, no matter you know the power is off, you grab the TV remote and you go and try to turn the TV on? Or you go flip a light switch? Now, I'm not an electrician, and I was proud that I hung a chandelier that I got for a sale sheet in my office and got rid of those white lights that give me headaches, you know, the buzz and everything. But it's not working now because there's some loose wiring. And every time I go in my office, I flip the switch on. Nothing happens. You know why? Because it's cut off. There's a loose wire. There's a loose connection. It's cut off from the source. And when he says, be strong in the Lord, some of us, and I myself included, are wondering, why am I not walking in victory? Why am I so discouraged? It's because, have you checked your connectors? Have you tested your spiritual connectors with the Savior? And so, as we look at this text, it's a very powerful thing this morning. When we look at the word, be strong in the Lord, it's actually, in the passage sense, it means to be strengthened by, or to receive strength from, or to increase in strength by being united with Christ. He says, be strong in the Lord. And this is not something that we do necessarily, but it comes from being connected to the power. Now, that light in my room can try to shine as much as it possibly can. It can squeeze. It can say, I want to light up. I want to, and it can, nothing's going to happen. But when it's connected to the source, that's why he says it in a passive sense. He says, something that we choose to do. There's our action part. But then the passive thing is that God is the one that gives us strength. He uses a remarkable word here, and we might just pass over it if we don't look at the book of Ephesians from beginning to end. He says, be strong in the Lord. Now, I want to invite you to go back to the beginning of Ephesians, chapter 1, and I want to show you what is in the Lord. Being in the Lord is having an intimate relationship with Him. How does that happen? Now look in chapter 1 in verse 3. He says He's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us, what? In Him. Before the foundation of the world. Before Him. Through Him. And then in verse 6 He says, we are blessed, He's blessed us in the beloved. In verse 7, in Him we have redemption. In verse, end of verse 9, in Christ, He set forth in Christ the promises. In verse 11, we've attained eternal inheritance in Him. Verse 12, we're the first to hope in Christ. And if you were to go through in chapter 1, verse 20 says that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, talking about power. We come to chapter 2, and He says, He made us together with Christ by grace. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. And He says in verse 7 at the end, He showed the riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so as we continue through, I would encourage you, if you have time, to go home this week, because this is important, to go through and underline all the phrases that say in Him, in Christ, in the beloved, in the Lord, and you will see what He's talking about, being strengthened in the power of His might. This is not just some magical thing that I pray. Lord, I pray for the power to come. But it comes through recognizing what we've already been given through our salvation. Because when the devil comes to attack us, how does he attack us? If it says we're chosen by him and adopted by him, how many of you ever been attacked by the devil and attacked by the devil? And you believe, start to believe lies, I'm not God's child. I'm no good. I don't belong anywhere. You see how that leads down the spiral? But he says we have been blessed in the spiritual blessing. It's when we lose our connector to the Savior and what He has done and provided to us in our salvation. How about redemption and the forgiveness of sins in chapter 1, verse 7? The devil comes and says, you're not forgiven. You've messed up too badly. And that leads us down the spiral of depression and discouragement. I've been there and done that myself. You say, well, you're a pastor. Well, I'm a human. And the devil is always attacking. But you see how the enemy attacks us in all these areas of theology. So if you want your kids to beat the devil, you need to teach them the doctrines of adoption, redemption, inheritance, and election. Because these are all the things in Christ that we've received that cause us to walk in victory. It is the power of salvation. There is power in the blood of Jesus to redeem us. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it says we're raised from death to life. Christians, we ought not be the people that walk around in death and talk in death terms and sing in death terms, in which time you've heard plenty of that from me. I just got to be honest this morning because this Word of God is true and it's pushing my life, and I hope that we can push each other in it because the salvation we've been given is great. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and we've got to help each other camp out there. We have to connect our loose connections with adoption, with redemption, with the resurrection. In chapter 2, verse 6, he also says that we've been seated in the heavenly realms with Christ, which means we're above all principalities and powers. The devil's going to come and attack, but we're in a position above him. Chapter 2, verse 19, it says we're being built into a dwelling place for God. Now, how does that counteract the devil's lies in your life? Chapter 4, verse 17, it says we're being taught to live like Jesus. We're new, we're transformed. In chapter 5, verse 8, it says we have an identity change. We are light in the Lord. We don't just have light, we are. tonight, because of our relationship and connection with Jesus Christ, we need to bring out all the arsenal of chapters 1 through 5. Bring it all out every time and every moment, which means we need to be in the Word. It means we need to confess the Word. We need to speak it out with our mouth. I am a child of God. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When those temptations of lust come to take over your life and your mind, when those temptations to be angry and upset about things that you shouldn't be, when those temptations come to be selfish, that's when you need to pull out your arsenal. Because he says, finally, be strong in your relationship with the Lord. It is believing and accessing and using the spiritual blessings prepared for us in the spiritual realm through the salvation of God the Father, through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, not only does the power come from being in the Lord, but then he mentions a second phrase in the text, and he says, in the strength of his might. Now, when you look up those words, all three of those words, be strong, strength, and might, are all three different words in the Greek. The word strength means the force or the power or dominion of something, and the word might carries the idea of ability. Now, if I were to ask some of you to stand up today, and I'm going to come at you with my force and my strength, Matt, if you were to stand up, and I would say, just push my hand. I'm going to use my force to push it. It's not working with a military guy. Now, it's kind of a bad deal back and forth. I'm standing, and I'm going like this, and he's just sitting, and I'm struggling. I mean, because look at these guns here. When he says to be strong in the force, the ability of his life, I might have a little bit of ability in my physical strength. It doesn't go very far against a military man. But what is he talking about? How much force, just how much ability does Jesus Christ have? This is what we forget. And the devil comes to get us with his vicious lies and to push us down and to defeat us. This is what we forget. We forget just how strong Jesus is. How strong is Jesus? He is the Word, in theology books, all powerful. That means there's not anything that he cannot do. There's not anything, and surely, since he created the devil and his angels, those are just created beings, he is God over them. And no matter what comes to our life, if we believe and understand and receive the power of his life, he turned water into wine. He went into towns and villages and healed all who were sick. The blind could see. Crippled without legs received legs. This is the Jesus who said, let there be light, and out of nothing came light. This is the Jesus who spoke, and everything that we see around us came into existence out of nothing. He is the all-powerful one. He's able to look at a mountain and say, move, and it's going to move. He was the Savior who walked on the water and told the wind and the clouds and the rain to stop, and it stopped. He is all-powerful. It is, if we look back in our chapters, chapter 1, verse 19, the power of his resurrection. And that's why these spiritual prayers are important. If you don't pray these prayers every day, the devil's going to get you. Verse 19, this is a prayer. He says, I pray, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Now that's you remember what I've given you in your salvation? And so he says, put on, that's the active sense, put on, it means to envelop and sing, and this is our action part, it means to become so possessed of the mind of Christ, as in thought, feeling, and action, to resemble him, and as it were, to reproduce the life he lived. Now, when I was a kid, and learning how to play the piano, my parents noticed that I kind of had a natural, I could play by ear when I was 4 years old. I had a piano, I started hanging out tunes, one finger jobs. Sins have been forgiven. Well, what about when you make a mistake and mess up and sin and you feel so guilty that you avoid God and you avoid church and everything else? That's where it is. Realize that we can't stand against evil. And last of all, why do we need, it's not last of all, but it might be last of all today. There's so much stuff here in the two versions. Why do we need the real power? Did you know that demons are watching your every move? They know your habits. They are masters of manipulation. They know where you're weak at. They know where you struggle. They know where you and I have bad attitudes at. And that is where they strike. See, he says the devil is one devil that schemes. He says, if you make a stand against the scheme, and I looked up that word scheme, and it means to follow up and investigate by method and a subtle plan, to follow craftily with cunning arts, deceit, and trickery. See, the devil is a master of all studies, science, math, English, philosophy, whatever jobs are up. He's a master. He's had thousands of years to master these. You know, we think it's great when someone can say, sit there and do mathematical equations that are complicated just by thinking them in their head. You know, he's had a lot of years to practice this stuff. He's smart. He's cunning. He's scheming and he's tricky. He's a master manipulator. He's an angel of light. He claims to be our friend. He makes mixing truth with falsehood seem good. He specializes in sensuality, materialism, and idolatry and greed. He specializes in making believers doubt God's goodness. How many times have you doubted God's goodness? The devil uses demons that are underneath to attack. They are specifically tailored to our weaknesses. And I want to just say this. The devil is a created being, so he can't be everywhere at once. But his goal since the beginning was his creation, and when God kicked him out of heaven, was to be a God and take his place. So what do you suppose he does? He took a third of the angels and the demons with him, and he has demons stationed in territories all over the earth. He's the prince and the power of the earth. So it makes it look like he's present everywhere at once, just like God is, but he's really not. But he has demons that are attacking us in all different places, in all different ways. And if you're here today, and like me many times, you don't really believe that there is a spiritual realm, or perhaps you give mental assent to it, but you don't realize that it's there. Our sister's battle is not with the man that's her neighbor that keyed a car. It's with the devil. It's with those demon spirits that are unleashing evil to try to get you and I to stop looking at, to stop confessing, and stop believing the spiritual blessings that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're in a real battle. He says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Anybody in here like to wrestle? Nobody likes to wrestle. During the college age years, you know, that was the fun thing to do. That was the great thing to do. And now when you start to get past 40 and you try to do that, and, you know, Brian kids come and attack you. The back and the things like that just don't hold up like they used to before. And you walk away wounded. Wrestling is hand-to-hand combat. It's personal. But I will want to say here again and remind us that it's futile if fought in the flesh. It is a serious battle. We are in a real battle. It's like the churches in Germany when Hitler was shipping all those Jews and they were wailing in a train on the way to their deaths or to prison camps. They would just sing the hymn louder so they couldn't hear the train go by. They pretended like the problem didn't exist. You can sing your hymns and praise courses as long as you want, but the problem still exists. The devil is there to destroy our lives. He's scheming against us. It's a serious battle. And these are fallen angels that are very powerful, but we have to remember they are not more powerful than God. And then he goes not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. And it's very difficult when you look up the Greek words on this to try to figure out what is this going. Some scholars say, okay, there's a hierarchy going on here, but really I think what he's trying to say is the scope and the power that they have over the earth. But when you look up that word ruler, it means the first person that rules over a whole office. There's a manager or CEO. Then you have authorities who carry out the job of that CEO. The devil makes judicial lies, and he says, demons, now you go out and make sure people follow those lies. So he sends them out. And then there's powers in general, the demon and the devil that have control over the earth, and you can look up all those scriptures. And then he mentions spiritual forces, and he uses the word of evil. That literally means an army of depravity or wickedness with evil purposes and desires. So I think Paul wrote that there so we realize how serious this is, how destructive this really is. When we were in the Ukraine and we went into that village that we're praying about going back to ministry, when you drive, when you start to see in the spiritual realm, when you start to learn to pray and get outside the physical things, you can feel things when you go into certain territories. You can feel oppression. You know why? Because the devil has this hierarchy set up. He has, why is it there certain sins that are strongholds in certain cities in our country? Because the devil has set up a hierarchy of demon spirits. You know, in Las Vegas there's one, and in the town over West Virginia there's one. It's property, and it's worship of other idols and things like that. God has given us power, and we'll begin to say, you know, this is a serious battle. This is the war that we're raging in. It's not against the people around us. It's not against government officials, but it's against who's controlling us. And God has called us to be powerful in our salvation. And you know what? Here's another thing that I want to bring up that's important. Because I don't want you to go away and I'm going to cast out the demon of ugliness out of this guy. You know, and we're making things up everywhere we go. You can cast out as much as you want, but notice in Scripture the way that God gives us the power is in Christ. Is in our salvation, is in our doctrine, is in what we believe, is in our spiritual blessings. It's not just the words. It's the spiritual blessings we have and the position that we have seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. There's going to be times and places where God's going to ask you, and he wants you to wage war and rebuke those powers that be. When we had that prayer in the Capitol lawn, and one woman, I remember specifically an intercessor, started to get up to pray, and she was actually the first one that got away from all the giddy, drummed up religion, I would call it, and she started into repentance. She started to repent for what our state and country has done for its slaves, started getting into some heavy stuff. It was cloudy and rainy that day, and it's cloudy and rainy a lot over West Virginia. Clouds started to go away. The sun started to shine. And then a boat pulled up with all these ghoulish demons and spider webs and all these kinds of things on it. And then somebody got up and made this lady stop repenting and got her off the stage immediately. The clouds came back. This is what we're facing. This is a serious battle. Why do I always scream, we got to pray, we got to pray, we got to come before the Lord? If we want to see our state set free from all these things that we're dealing with poverty and jobs to be created, it is a spiritual battle in the spiritual realm. It means that we need spiritual transformation in the church and in our lives. It means that we need to come before God and begin to wage war against these things and these false idols. West Virginia has a history of demonic things and all these, they're over in
demonic lies, and to get on our knees before God and say, God, we admit that we're sinners, that we need a change in our own life. We need your spiritual power to come and take over us. Only then can God begin to release his blessing over the church and over our state.
Amen. Amen.
We have to tear down the idolatry of religion. And so when we were in that village, I knew something was not quite right. And then through time, God began to reveal it. It was one specific person in his cohorts. Happens to be a pastor. And I found out recently this week that he won't even allow a children's club to come in and have a children's camp or a children's ministry in that town. The only, quote, Protestant Christian church in the town. So now we know where that stronghold is. And so if we're going to bring a team over there, this is an opportunity for us to begin to put this into practice. We know on Rocky Step Road there's demonic spirits of drugs and addictions and alcohol. We have needles in our mouth. If we want to see God break through in that, we need to begin to pray and put on our spiritual armor. We need to begin to activate and live out the spiritual blessing so that people can see the joy, they can see the strength, they can see the security. And I'm preaching to myself as I'm preaching to you, and I didn't wear my steel-toed shoes today, and it hurt. Sometime, and I'm going to ask you to come down and pray. God's calling you to repent.
you're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves.
When my heart becomes free
and my shame is undone, in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh God, we love your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
next stage, the next level of spiritual warfare, of prayer, God, that we become a house of prayer. You take away what the thief has stolen, Lord, that you would push him away, that you would restore all that has been taken away from us, joy and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God, that you would come and fill each and every one of us when we gather together, that our meetings would not just be another meeting, but they would be powerful, be filled with the Spirit and life. God, we come to worship you, God, that we would give our all to you. When we come to listen to the Word, that it would sink deep into our hearts, God. That we ask, Lord, for an open window to heaven. God, we ask that you would answer our prayers. You said in your Word, if we prayed these things, that we would grow in our understanding of your power, that we would grow in our understanding of being strengthened in our inner being, that you will answer, God. So we put our hope and our trust in you. God, I pray that you bless each and every one of us today. In Jesus' mighty, powerful name, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with every father here that's fighting a battle for his family, that you would bless them and encourage them. God, I pray that they'd have the courage to stand up and do what's right in your eyes, to declare the Bible as the authority in their homes. God, to be the head of their house, to love and respect their wives, Lord, and honor them and love them so that they can respect them back. Father, I just pray that you'd help us with that as men. God, that you lead us into that, Lord. And God, I pray that our children would see us more in prayer than anyone else. God, I pray that they would see us more in intimacy with you than anyone else around them. Father God, I pray that you'd move upon our lives. And Lord, call us to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we're in the threshing floor, and you said, Hail, man, woman of valor. God, I pray that you call each person up and out to serve you, the true and living God, with this powerful, powerful message of truth. Lord, we give you all the praise and thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. God bless you all.
We will be leaving Friday, and we have a previous engagement on Wednesday. So this will be our last time here in the house of the Lord at Christ Community Church. And I would like to say that without the help of the godly woman the Lord sent me, we would not be moving home. At least I wouldn't, but with my family, I wouldn't. And I just want to thank God for the woman that he sent me in my life. Jerry, I love you more than words can say. And I love each and every one of you, and we're going to miss you. Without a doubt, but we are moving. We already have a church. It's the church I was raised in, and we have plenty of family, and we're going to miss each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you, and I'm glad that you were a part of my life. Thank you.
Take care of this.